Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Couchos Unplugged. As always, this weekend held a bunch of exciting matches, and along with there's a lot of drama and fiasco with some of those. So, without further ado, we're just gonna jump right into it. The first match we're gonna discuss, Roma have finally lost their streak against recently promoted sides in a 3-2 defeat against Venezia. So, what are your thoughts and reactions?
Comedically, they need to stop scheduling Roma to play at 5:30 in the morning, because every single time we play at 5:30 in the morning, we either lose or draw. The only positive performance that I have ever recalled in the last like 5 years of us playing at that time was the 2-2 draw with Inter. But seriously speaking, it was a disaster. Obviously. To sort of start as poorly as they did, I think it was like 3 minutes into the game, a ball comes into the box, Caldara scores off a set piece, and Roma are just in this, all of a sudden, big favorites. International break is coming up. We always beat teams like this coming into this game away from home, regardless, coming off some shaky performances. This game itself was like built for Roma to not necessarily rip them apart, but to at least pick up the points. Everything, all the momentum was with them, even though they had not been playing particularly well since the game against Napoli. They come into this and they're already down with 3 minutes into the game. And then obviously, right before the second half, Shiromidov and Tammy Abraham both score, and we're sitting pretty 2-1 in the second half. And then the whole thing comes crashing down. They score a penalty, and then they score another goal. I don't remember which order that was in. And then all of a sudden they go from 2-1 down to 3-2 up, and Roma just couldn't close the deal because of a lots of different things here. But you obviously feel you have to just put everything in perspective. That this victory for Venezia is huge. They beat one of quote unquote the Italian football heavyweights after not being in the league for so many years. They should celebrate this like a trophy, and they have. On Roma's side, we can say whatever you want, and I'm actually kind of sick to death of not me, not Marcus, but other Roma fans continuing to talk about the referees when we're losing games, but it's not based on that. You know what I mean? Was there a penalty that we could have gotten this game? Yes. Did we deserve to win this game? No. So I think that whole narrative needs to be thrown out. Secondly, we did this to ourselves. How do you have 24 shots on goal, or sorry, 24 shots in the game, and less than 10 of them are on target? The reason we lost this game is because we couldn't find the back of the net. We couldn't finish. And yes, I know we got those two goals at the end of the first half, but it was just a disaster from almost from start to finish. It wasn't terrible because we played well, kind of, but it's just like systematically there were parts of this game where we collapsed. And with all due respect to Valencia, we should not be losing to teams like this. Like, I can take losing to AC Milan because everybody's losing to AC Milan. I can take a derby loss to Lazio. Two rivals, these things happen. But I do not tolerate a loss to Venezia, a team that just came into the league, a team that was struggling up until, I know they beat Fiorentina, but other than that, they're in the low part of the table. It was just a disaster. And you look at all the other things and all the narratives attached to this, and you start to see that, yes, Mourinho's coming. Yes, we got some good players, no doubt. But this still is almost the identical team from last season that finished seventh, and so it's a little bit of a collapsing situation because we're not playing well, and to lose like that and to lose our streak, 33 games, 32, sorry, 33 games, 32 wins, one draw. If you put it all together, 97 points. The last time we lost to a team that just came into the league was 6 years ago. So this was like the safety net. We knew, regardless of whatever happened, that we could get these points. And now, even though it's one game, it's a one-off, it's no longer just a guarantee that we're getting points. It was a bad situation. And as sort of I watched the whole thing collapse, you're kind of, my mind is kind of thinking of, all right, what do we need? How do we fix the situation? Because as good as the team is, we need a lot of new players. Mourinho went on a rant about it. Jordan then backed him up on that claim. And by the way, Jordan may not need to be, how do I put this? So Jordan, I don't think should be among the players that need to be replaced. But in a new regime with new players, he may not be a player that maybe slides into every starting lineup. But all things considered, there's a lot of work to still be done. And it's just a reminder that this is a project. We're in year one. The ambition is still Champions League football, but it was awful. It was horrendous, you know, to lose like that in the manner it happened, and, you know, not being able to sort of put ourselves in a position to go into the break with confidence and momentum. Confidence is all time low. And there's just no, there's, they need a signature victory to get, kind of get them going. And again, Valencia's respectful team. I appreciate them. They got good players, but we can't be losing to them. Losing to Lazio, okay. Losing to Milan, okay. But not like this, and not in the way that we lost. It was just a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I was at church during this match again, and or I was just getting ready to wake up, and I'm looking at the result. I'm like, no, that can't be the correct result. And lo and behold, do a little research, and it was the truth. And I'm like, damn, there goes Roma's track record of beating promoted sides. And you hit the nail on the head with this one. You shouldn't be losing the sides like this. Against Milan or Lazio, okay, but when you have a guaranteed win and to fail and watch everything fall apart, it just sucks to see that happen. And I was actually going to ironically ask you that question, like, what do you think needs to change going forward? Obviously, right now, it's not quite January, so there's no hopes of, like, changing players and selling players and getting players at the moment. But strategically, from with the players you have right now, what are you going to do to like turn this thing around?
Well, we can start the conversations. We can start negotiations. We can start a lot. We can figure out who he doesn't want. And Mourinho is as bold as they come. He says he likes 12 of his players. He doesn't like the rest of them. So you can imagine that there's going to be some shifts of the team. I think Spinazzola being out is not good. Still, I think if he comes back on the side, it's a little bit more balanced. I do think we need to change the formation to a back three potentially, just because what we seem to be doing isn't working. We have two left. Our left back and right back are very attacking minded in a back three with wing backs, because we saw what Rick Carsdorp did last year at that position. Putting him back in that scenario, I think will be better. Then obviously you have Abanez and Mancini as a center back. And on the other side, we can see Avina can be a threat going forward. Although I do appreciate what he can do defensively. So at the time being, all he can do is change the formation, change the team selection, figure out who's not part of this team in 6 months, in 2 months, whatever. And from upstairs, Thiago Pinto starting to formulate conversations, starting to talk to agents, starting to talk to other teams about what they would like to see going forward when January opens, and so we can start negotiations immediately. So when the window opens, Roma are right there immediately, and they're already in talk. The name that's been talked about almost religiously over the last couple months was Denis Zerakia from Gladbach. But that's been something that's been talked about repeatedly, and Roma had a head up in as far as other players chasing him, but he's not enough. You need someone to give Karsdorp some rest. There's been a few names thrown out there. There's another attacker that's been linked from ironically, from the Norwegian team that Roma lost to, who scored, I think, 5 goals in those 2 games or something like that. So there's a lot of things that Roma still need to do, but I think the main thing is, and I think it's lazy journalism to say a meltdown for Mourinho when we're like 12 games into the season, when he took over a seventh place team. People are acting like this team was finished fifth last season. This team finished seventh, and they weren't really in contention for the Europa League at the end of the season. So you have to look at a lot of different ways that Roma can start to handle this. For, I mean, change of formation potentially. Maybe that's something that they can do. Otherwise, they have to start thinking about not replacements necessarily, but thinking about the players that they would like to bring in January and let Thiago Pinto and the Friedkins start to figure it out. This is a 3-year project, so I think the whole meltdown thing is ridiculous. But there are obviously things that need to change with this team. Do they have good players? Yeah. But, I mean, we've been talking about this Roma team for the last, you know, a couple months, and I keep saying the same thing. We can't always rely on Lorenzo Pellegrini to be Superman. Does he have the capabilities of Superman? Yes, because he's one of the best midfielders in the world this season. But it's unfair for us to just look to him to save all our problems when things aren't going well. And this didn't start last weekend. It didn't start against Milan. It started the game of the Cagliari game where Pellegrini basically saved us. And we cannot keep asking him to do it. So the only positive thing you can actually take from the game is Tammy Abraham scored again. And he needs to get sort of hitting the back of the net more regular. When that starts happening, the team will get better. But there's still lots of issues that we need to sort out. This is why I don't talk about the referees. There are refereeing decisions in a lot of the games that Roma played this season, but I'm not talking about them because there's other issues that Roma needs to kind of attack.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Hopefully you guys turn around soon, but obviously the congratulations, Venezia. This win is huge for you, and we'll see what they can do going forward. I'm going to get another nitty-gritty match off the table just so it's done. It was another wonderful installment of the Derby della Mandonina, otherwise known as the Milan Derby, where Inter drew 1-1 with our noisy neighbors across the hall. In this match, I mean, it was pretty much decided in the first half. Obviously, you had former Milan player Kalanahu scoring a penalty and giving them the 1-0 advantage. But then a couple minutes later, like not even 4 or 5, there was the own goal by Stefano De Vrij. So, I mean, after that, it was pretty much just a very strong defensive battle between these two teams where they were just firing on all cylinders in the attack but just could not capitalize because the opposing defense was just like right there matching them stride for stride. And so it just at that point became a defensive battle. And eventually the final whistle would blow, signifying a 1-1 draw. Obviously, fair play to both teams on how well they performed throughout the whole entire match. Obviously, this doesn't help Inter's situation. Yes, they're still in the title picture. I'm just saying that now. But it's just going to continue to get progressively harder for Inter going forward, especially in the bigger matches such as these to have any hopes of re-securing a Scudetto. But basically, in my opinion, obviously Milan are the clear favorites now. They have all the momentum going for them, especially since they are now out of the Champions League, so they could just focus all of their attention and energy on the league, whereas Inter, depending on how the situation goes, could possibly make it into the Champions League knockout stages, which will cause them to get like more fatigue later on in the like season, depending on how far they make it. So, I mean, this pretty much puts Milan in the driver's seat. Can Inter turn things around? Absolutely, but right now there's just a lot of things that need to be done, like readjusting the mindset and getting back into that winning mentality that we had the past two seasons, along with really working that back line and getting it back to full strength. And overall, just making sure an issue that had kind of like resolved itself over the past two seasons, it's kind of rearing its ugly head again. The inability to finish those crucial chances, especially inside the box. And that was resolved the past two seasons, but it's kind of becoming at least apparent to me that it's one of those situations that it's coming back where we're just struggling to finish, and especially in front of the net. And hopefully we're able to like fix some of those key issues, because right now it's just not looking good for Inter at the moment.
Yeah, I think you're overreacting a little bit. You have to remember, I'm pretty sure last time, when we talked about this before, you were really worried that Milan was going to beat the brakes off you. The thing is, you're talking about, there's slight concern as far as talking about the title, but it's open season. It's really close from top to bottom, from ninth to first. So there's, until you're like 20 games, 15 games in, I don't think you can really judge whether or not are they in the title race? Are they not in the title race? The fact of the matter is, if you just think about things logically here, their biggest rivals for the title this season so far are Milan and Napoli. Milan dropped a point because of Inter, and then Napoli dropped a point. So it's not a bad result. In fact, I think it's a rather good result against a team that is piping hot, a team that had probably more. I watched the game. There was more red than blue in that stadium. That did not seem like a home game for Inter, and they still got a point. And again, you can say whatever you want about the defense, which is fair, but Inter were better in that game. It was because of AC Milan's defense that they were able to get bailed out. And I know AC Milan had their chances on the other side, but Inter Milan were basically, the reason they didn't win this game was because of, again, the penalty. Great save on the end of that, by the way. It wasn't a bad penalty, Bellataro. And then on the other thing was the, I think it was Barella, I'm not sure, who kind of fires it in. And Tomori just hits it off the line. And that's his unfortunate stuff. But I thought the game plan was good. In the second half, Inter were the better team. There was something really fluid about the way they were playing. And they don't have to worry about some of the other things that are happening, because collectively, Inter have done well this season. I think they maybe lost one game, but I don't even know if they've lost a game this season. So they've been pretty spotless as far as performances. They just want to, the thing is, they just want to get more points in big games like these. But I don't think there's any reason to be concerned about anything. I think, realistically speaking, Inter should be more concerned about Benzema than they should about being in the title race, because they're clearly in it. They're involved. They had a great game plan, and Zaghi had the team playing the right way. And in a rivalry game, you just never know what can happen. Both teams got a point, which is probably a fair result in the end. But Inter did a lot of good things throughout this match, and you get sort of all of it together, and as things progress, Inter are going to get more comfortable with their system and their team, and I think everything will kind of fall into place. The defending hasn't been bad. As far as the own goal, that's ridiculous, because Tomori should have got credited for that goal. Because it wasn't like, and it wasn't one of those own goals where, the bad ones that are blatantly somebody's fault. That was just two heads clashing at the same time, and it's just the last touch came off of De Vrij's head, and so on and so forth. I thought Inter played. They did what they were supposed to do. They found their ways in this game. They got a point against AC Milan, who were piping hot. You kind of did what Roma did against Napoli when they had their great start to the season. So I don't think there's any reason to be completely worried about that. You're going to be in a tie race until the end. That's just the way it is. It's so close from top to bottom. And yes, there's some point difference there, but ultimately I think both teams will be happy by the performance, even though both of them would have wanted more than just a point.
Let's see, what else do we got? You win 1-0 against Fiorentina.
Yeah. This is a game that probably shouldn't have taken so long for Juventus to kind of pull it off. They had so many chances in throughout the game. The Fiorentina, the goalkeeper made some mistakes early in. They probably should take advantage of, but Juve were the better team by far. Fiorentina just didn't seem up for it. I hardly remember them having a legitimate chance to do anything. And then obviously, you know, the time extends, and then and again, I still don't know how he did it, but Cordardo at the end scoring that goal, I thought was ridiculously. It's a highly skilled piece of skill that I didn't expect coming from him. They get the winner late. They get 3 more points and only kind of building off their Champions League performance. With Fiorentina, it's a tough one to take, especially what's happening behind the scenes at the moment. So they just have to find a way to sort of push forward and put this one as a bad performance and try to improve on the stability of the team and how well they're doing. Again, they do have to, they are dealing with some distractions, and I'm not talking about the owner. He has nothing to do with this. But there are some distractions behind the scenes. Last week, it did matter because, you know, Vladovic scored a hat trick and they dominated. But they need to keep focused and continue to try to pick up points as long as they're sort of playing the way they have played throughout this season so far. I think they'll be fine, but this is not a performance that they're particularly fond of. While Juve just picked up another 3.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with it. Shouldn't have taken Juventus this long to get a win, but obviously they pull off the win as usual in, late in the second half with a goal from Guidardo and with an assist from Locatelli. So I mean Locatelli has been a really crucial piece to Juventus in crucial moments such as these, and he continues to put in the hard work and effort and do what is needed to get the job done. And then he's like, okay, I'm going home. I'm going to have a beer, do whatever the heck I want. But anyway.
I doubt he's drinking any alcohol after he goes, though.
But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those situations where I feel bad for Fiorentina since they have been doing really well this season. So hopefully all the stuff going on behind the scenes gets sorted out. I actually don't know what's going on because I haven't.
Okay. Yeah, I can tell you. You listened to my first episode of my show, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just refreshing because I did talk about it a little bit in there. But I'll just reiterate what I said on that episode. And the thing is, right now, Vladovic, one of the best young strikers in world football at this point, balling out for Fiorentina, was great. He's good in his first year, went up to 21 goals last year, and this year he's been great coming off that hat trick. All this stuff is kind of coming together in a certain sense, but behind the scenes, a contract has been offered. It has been turned down. And so what I mean behind the scenes, obviously in regards to his contract extension, basically being shut down. And like I said before, I like Nico Gonzalez a lot. I think he can pick up the slack if there's some situation. But the issue is now, how are they going to handle this? And there's been no formal request to leave based from Vladovic. He's not saying, he hasn't put in a request. All he's basically saying is, I'm not going to be here for that much longer. So there's sort of like a twisted reaction. Well, whether or not you see Fiorentina try to deal him in January, or they wait until the summer. But the reason I think it's a distraction is there is so much uncertainty regarding all of this that it's just misplaced right now. And the question I had was whether this is going to affect the play. It didn't the week before. It could have this weekend, but I think that also could be down that Juventus need to get back on track, and that was a signature victory for them. So it could be a lot of things, but I think what's going on with the contract situation, with him potentially leaving the summer, will begin to weigh on them. But I have faith into the coach that he's not going to let that be a distraction, but it might be a distraction for just some aspects of this team. So I don't know if this loss is based on that, because it didn't matter the week before, but it's something that's going to continue to build in Florence until there's a resolution. Whether a deal is agreed with, again, I think it's pretty clear that Atletico Madrid is a huge favorite for him. Whether that happens in January or the summer, I think that's the destination, that's the location. But on the other hand, how is this going to play out? Is he going to continue to do what he's been doing? Or is there going to be some backroom, not controversy, but hesitation on some things? Because this deal, this story is only going to continue to develop over several weeks to months until January. So how are the Fiorentina going to handle it? And this may not have been down to that, but it's something that's going to weigh on the minds of some, really.
Well, hopefully this all gets resolved, because it just sucks to hope that there could be a chance that Fiorentina lets this get to their head and end up like destroying that focus that they've worked so hard to get.
Yeah. They can't really hold them hostage the way they did with Chiesa, because if they continue to kind of do that, then the situation is going to get toxic. What Fiorentina really should do is just let him play. Play him out the year and just keep, don't make this about yourself. You have a really great player right now who's scoring lots of goals. Just finish the season with him. Don't sell, at least don't make an agreement to sell until after the transfer window is closed, and just let him play out the season. He gets you into the Europa League, then you leave and go to Atletico Madrid for 80 million or something. Because I think trying to sort of rectify this by potentially selling, or trying to or talking about it, or trying to offer him another contract extension, I don't think it's not going to matter, because he wants to leave, but he's not asking to leave now. So just play out the season, and then you deal with it when the time comes.
Yeah, most definitely. Up next, we have Lazio winning 3-0 against Salernitana.
Yeah, I mean, actually, sorry, can you go first on this one? My voice is getting tired. I just need a little break.
Let me get some of my water really quick, because obviously this winter cough is not letting up. So this, obviously, with this match, usually we've seen the story of how Lazio show up against the big teams, but fail to like turn up against like lower table and mid table teams. But this is not the case at all this week. They go out there and annihilate Salernitana. Obviously, Salernitana is obviously going to probably be relegated by the end of the season. So there's really no reason why they can't, like, there was no reason why Lazio couldn't go out and destroy them, because of how terrible they are as a team. I mean, obviously they did great in Serie B, but when it comes to, like, Serie A, you're going up against teams that have had quite a big amount of experience in the top flight. So it's just one of those scenarios where obviously this result was to be expected. So it doesn't really, to me, this isn't like one of those, wow, Lazio are back on track. It's just reflects on how poor Salernitana is. So So, because that result was to be expected. So, to me, this wasn't really anything special for Lazio, but I mean, they get the points regardless. So, it helps them to an extent, but it just isn't a surprise win, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, you're right. I think this is a team that they should be beating. There shouldn't be any sort of you didn't like it's a game, and I know there are some a lot of personalities who are kind of trying to build the narrative that Sarri's football is starting to work now. And I again he's done a good job with them so far. Again, I think there are much better teams than them in the European chase. But you know, beating a team like this is important because they have struggled with similar teams in the past this season. But usually that occurs when after a big result. So they beat Roma in the Derby, then they get crushed by Bologna. They beat Inter, they get crushed by Verona. So back and forth, that's just how it goes for them. But it's important. They're getting the results. Immobile looks back to his former self. I think he's probably going to win the Golden Boot, but I know it's early days. But they put themselves in a good position. The performances were solid, but I don't think you can say that, oh, because they beat this team, that they're going to that this means much. It just means they did what they were supposed to do. And that's it. And Lazio are a decent team, but I don't think beating a team like this has any sort of long-term a narrative attached to anything because it's a team at the way bottom of the league. Everyone's beating them. I think they have one win this season, if that. So they've just been, they've been manhandled for the most part because their team isn't good enough to survive the toughness of Serie A. Empoli and Valencia both look better coming into the season, and they look better during the season. Fiorentina doesn't really have any signature wins, and it's not the most challenging team that's in front of them, but you can only beat what's in front of you, and even if it was a bad team, they got the job done, and I think that's all that matters at this point.
Yeah, exactly. So moving on to, we got two more matches to discuss. Napoli get a 1-1 draw against, oh, I'm drawing a blank.
Verona, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Verona, yeah. So they got a 1-1 draw against them.
Well, I told you so. Just doesn't say it quite, because I've been everyone's they collecting all these points. Oh, Napoli's gonna do this. They're gonna do that, and then what happens? Now they're starting to dwindle off. I think they played Salernitana last week, and it took them until the 83rd minute to score a goal against them. Then they got. Their attack got mobbed up in the game against Roma. Roma's game performance hasn't gotten better since then, but neither has Napoli's. They grind out a win. They drop points to Verona. Giovanni Simeone again. I just don't understand what the fuck is happening with that guy. He's not that good. He's a good player, but he's not great. He's never gonna play for a top team. He's just okay, but he's scoring like he's a star player. It kind of reminds me of Linsanity in the NBA when Jeremy Lin for a stretch just was looking like LeBron James. And so Simeone essentially is looking like he just looks like an amazing player, but he's not. He's a good player. He's not a great, he's a little above average, to be honest with you. But he keeps scoring. I think that was his sixth goal in the last two or three games. So he's really kind of taking it to 11. He's riding this momentum. It is going to crash and burn eventually, and then he won't score for months. But it's amazing to see how great he's been in. And again, Napoli come in here against the Verona team that's a lot better. They're a good team. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they're Napoli just dropped points to a chump. But Napoli's whole thing about how dominant they are, and I was saying, okay, they're winning these games. But how are they playing? They're not playing well. So I don't care if they're top of the league. It's going to slowly collapse. And we're starting to see it collapsing. Again, Spalletti's a good coach, no doubt. I've I have total faith in that he's the right man in Naples, but he couldn't win with some absolutely outstanding team. So I just don't see him turning Napoli into like someone who's going to win the league. So I think Napoli's a good team. They have some good players. Absolutely. But I think we're starting to see what the reality of Napoli is. It's not a team that is, it's probably a Champions League team, but it's not a team that's going to be in the title race for that much longer, I suspect.
Yeah, this reminds me of that one hit song, "The wheels on the bus are falling off." That's what it reminds me of. Obviously, Napoli, I think, is just one of those teams that comes out with all these, like, they're all talk and no, like, action. Obviously, they start off red hot. And they think they're going to do, like, all the things that they set out to do. But eventually, as the season progresses, usually around this time, obviously, they start, like, you start seeing that gradual decline. Obviously, you hit the nail on the head that Spalletti is the manager for this job. But is he going to make them something, like, historic? I don't think so. But they can make a push in the Champions League if they know what they're doing and how the draw goes.
Yeah, no question.
But in regards to just being league contenders, yeah, they'll be in a conversation for a little bit, but then eventually they just start dying out. So, I mean, yeah, they get a point here, but it's just, well, it's against a Verona team that has, like, I mean, in my opinion, they've been doing okay, but just not to the extent of what we were seeing, like, last season. But
yeah, this isn't Juric's Verona, which is a much better side than this. So yeah, you're right.
So yeah, it's just one of those scenarios where it's the same old talk from Napoli, but nothing ever really transpires. And the last match that we're going to discuss before we get into everything else is Atalanta win 2-1 against Cagliari.
Yeah. I can recap this entire performance using two words. Duvan Zapata. I mean, he's just playing out of his mind right now. Even if, you know, he had a goal, but if you look on the first goal that Atalanta scored, he didn't get an assist, but he set up the entire equation. Got into the box and did some things, and he did that all game long. He played that sort of facilitation role to a large extent, getting the ball out. I think he's got 4 in his last 4 as far as goal scoring. He gets another goal. Again, it was a tough one because I believe it was in Cagliari. That's not an easy place to go win games, even if Cagliari are not very good, but you got to be put in those situations where you're kind of having to deal with adversity. They went through the Man United thing where I felt they should have got 6 points for those two, so they might be going to the Europa League instead of the Champions League. But Zabat is playing really well right now, and I again at this point I don't see anything that can stop them from kind of, this is a Champions League team, and even if they go in and out, this is one of those teams that I just believe that are going to be in it. They have other players that are effective. There are other players that can chip in and make them better. Defensively, they're okay. They're not great. Ever since Castagna went to Leicester City, I think the defense has not been that powerful. And then obviously the loser Romero last year. So there are other things that they can do, but they're not a team that you're expecting, you know, incredible defense as a whole together. So when everything kind of clicks, they're going to be a team that's going to be dangerous. Are they going to be a team that can win the league? I don't think so. There's a few more things that they need, but we know that from a Gasparini team, they're always very attacking minded and that can score a ton. So we know that they're going to be competitive in every game they play in. And wait, we haven't played them yet. Have you guys played Atalanta yet? I don't remember.
I don't think we have either.
I don't remember. No, I think you did. I think it was a draw. But anyway, the point is, how do I put this? Fans of other teams are not going to want to go there and play them. And they're not going to want Atlanta to come to your house and play them either. Because they're just a difficult team to play with. Because I think the problematic thing with Atlanta is once they get a lead, you feel like it's you against the world. Because we know how frequently they can score. Even if you're in front at the beginning, they can come and get you. You know, last season, Roma scored very early against Atlanta. They scored 4 goals in 25 minutes. So this is the type of thing that they possess. And when Muriel becomes fully healthy and you have Zapata in there and everyone's sort of back, they're just tough. And the way Zapata's playing is unbelievable. Now, if you watch the way he's playing and then you see other pieces become more healthy, they're going to be much more dangerous. But the thing right now is Zapata is just he's just playing at an extreme level right now. And we're seeing the qualities that he possesses every time he takes the pitch. And it's frightening to try to sort of to think about how you're going to take control or stop this guy. Because we talk about this all the time. He possesses qualities that most strikers don't have in terms of the physical traits and the way he plays. And it's a difficult thing to defend. And as long as he continues to play like this, Alonso are going to be a threat to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, Duván Zapata, oh my gosh. We even saw what he did against Manchester United a couple
weeks ago. Great.
He was world-class. And, I mean, he's just going to continue to progressively get better from here. It's like week after week, he comes out and dominates at a top-quality level. And I agree, it's going to be terrifying for anybody who goes and plays Atalanta, whether they're coming on over to your house for an afternoon party or you're going over to the Bergamo. I mean, this team is not a team to be messed with. I mean, yeah, they may not contend for the title, but in European competitions, you better bet your top dollar that they're going to make. And we've been seeing that week in and week out. Not only this season, but last season as well, when they made it into the knockout stages. They're just going to go out there and do what they do best and put on a show for everybody. And if they come up short, it's okay. Because they know they put everything they had into that match. And we're just seeing how great this team is. And obviously, not only do you have Duván Zapata, you have Gosens, and you have Ilicic, who are also performing really well. So overall, this team is a threat to anybody on any given Sunday or Saturday or whatever day of the week.
Yeah, I think that there are fortresses that exist for teams that it would be difficult for Atlanta to come there and. As bad as Juventus are right now, and they're just not what we expect them to be, going to Juventus is probably problematic for them. If Atalanta goes to Milan, I mean, they've already been there, and it wasn't pleasant for them. But outside of those two, I don't know if anybody's fortress presents anything that they would be questioning about, because they're just playing really well. And again, if they ended up third in their Champions League group, because I think Villarreal would probably win a group, or Man United Villarreal would probably be the two that go through. But if Lanza finished third, they can win the Europa League, because a lot of the contenders for these are going to qualify for the Champions League knockout. When you eliminate Ajax from the Europa League teams, when you eliminate some of these other ones that are doing really well in the Champions League, again, it's going to be difficult. But if they play the way they have them, they could go into the Europa League and win it. And I want so desperately for Atlanta to win a trophy with Zapata there. And I think, who knows, Coppa Italia, they've been to two finals. Maybe they get to a third one and win it. Otherwise, winning the Europa League would be awesome, because this is a team that they have one trophy, I think, from the 1930s or something, just from a long time ago. And it'd be really great to see them finish off with the trophy this season, even though I don't think it's going to be the league. So either Coppa Italia or Europa League.
Yeah, and so now we're just gonna go do our final usual culprits. I will start off with my Serie A power rankings just so it gives your voice a chance, and then I'll let you do your European ones. Then we'll do our players
Yeah.
of the week, and I don't have a debate topic for this week,
I'll think
so.
of one while we're talking. I'll think of one while we're talking, and then we'll figure it out. Just go.
Okay. A Serie A power rankings are starting with Napoli. Napoli continue to get results, but events, unfortunately, normally I would have had him higher up in the rankings, but just due to how they've been performing overall lately, it's just they're on that decline that we're usually used to seeing, and so unfortunately I can't have them higher because of this. So for that, they're going to be a number five. In number four, I will be putting, let's see, hold on. Juventus. They're continuing to get results, but obviously, with a lot of the matches, they've been leaving it too late. Which, if they were performing more consistently and getting back to where we are usually used to seeing them, you like get the their victories like in like whatever 22nd, 23rd minute or whatever, no, they would have been higher up, but just they're continuing to get the results, but it's just leaving it until late. In number three, I have Atalanta. Obviously, this is a team that continues to put in the hard work and effort week in and week out, whether it's in the league or European competition. In number two, I have Milan. Obviously they're continuing to remain on fire and doing what is needed to get the results themselves. And in number one, I'm putting Inter because I'm just gonna be selfish just because I'm biased this week.
All right. Just so you know, I haven't had the papers. I'm just gonna go off the top of my head and try to figure it out as I go. Next week I'll be more prepared. Lot of stuff going on. I'm gonna go in reverse order though. Number one, I mean Bayern Munich. They lose to Gladbach. They rail. I forgot who it was. Union Berlin. Then they go and play against. Freiburg, who hadn't lost a game this season, they continue to roll. Nagelsmann continues to be the man for them going forward. Just really kind of the team is just unstoppable. Number two, I'm going to say Manchester City. You saw what they did to Manchester United. If you didn't wake up for that game, they essentially just toyed with them for like 80, 75 minutes. Ronaldo had one shot. The rest of the inning, I had like three shots total. It was humiliating. It was embarrassing, and so on and so forth. Number three, I'll say, this is gonna be really fucked because I don't have papers, but I'll say Real Madrid. Unfortunately for Inter Milan, Benzema's piping hot still. He continues to play well. They continue to win games. And so on and so forth. That's going to be a tough task when we return to the Champions League for Inter. So that's three. I'll go Liverpool. Not great for. Actually, I'm going to go Chelsea. Chelsea, Liverpool. Chelsea because Liverpool because they're not playing well. They just lost West Ham. They just before that they dropped to Brighton. But I still think that they have a lot of quality. Sorry, they're in the below. Chelsea above. Even though they dropped points this weekend as well, I think there's a lot in there for them to do something great this season. And then fuck, I'm gonna say Ajax, Dortmund, and yeah, sorry, I just don't have a lot of paper, so I haven't had a lot of time saying this. So I'm gonna go Ajax, Dortmund last two. Ajax continue to play well. They were great in the Champions League the other week. Continue to do their thing. Dortmund, again, seem like a team that can do something in the upcoming months in the Bundesliga and Yeah, sorry. This is probably trash, but I just couldn't think of anything. I hadn't have any preparation stuff. We'll just leave it there.
No worries. And besides, there is going to be no episode next week because there's international break this weekend.
Yes, there is. And I just got some devastating news about that.
Oh, what happened? Tell me the news.
I don't know. I'm just going to plug more here. Real Football on Twitter, Romania Football. This guy is the encyclopedia of everything that has to do with the Romanian national team, Romanian domestic players. He knows more about, I feel like I know a good deal about my national team. He knows everything about it. So I was under the illusion that if we beat Iceland and we beat Liechtenstein, we're in the fucking thing. In the World Cup, but it turns out that's not the case. Well, if we beat Iceland in Liechtenstein because of the points, which is a fucking stupid ass system. If you get second, you should not have to play more games to qualify. It's just dumb. 2026 will be much more easy to qualify for because there's going to be like 48 teams. But so it turns out if Romania win their next two games, which I expect them to do, Iceland, that's going to be a tough one, but Liechtenstein will beat. We will be put in a situation where we'll have to, I think we'll just only have to play one game if we, we have one matchup. We won't have to go set the matchup. That's my understanding of it. If we do end up winning our next few games, that will put us in a situation where we would be playing potentially Poland, Serbia, Switzerland, and there's a few other teams that we might be end up with. But I need there's with this. So the bad news is it's not completely done if we beat Iceland, which I thought it was going to be the case. The other bad news is, okay, this is definitely bad news. Portugal, can do me a big favor here. Just win your group, please. Please win your group. I don't want to play against you in the with a World Cup berth on the line. Win your fucking group. I'm going to come over to Ronaldo's house. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not really going to. But I don't want to go through all this, get second in the group, then have to play Portugal. No. I would rather play Switzerland. I'd rather play Poland. I'd rather play Serbia. The thing is, with my thing of what's going on with this, I think that we'll be in a winnable situation as long as it's not Portugal. So I think the other teams that are sort of in this conversation, we have an opportunity to beat. I don't think we can be forced to go over two legs. I just don't think it's possible. But the big devastating news for me is that once we, if we get second in the group, it's not confirmed yet, which I was devastated to hear.
All right. Up next, we have our players of the week. I'll go first. I'm going to be picking Duván Zapata, for obvious reasons. He continues to excel in the Atalanta's attack. Obviously, not only is he a great goal scorer, he's a really good facilitator, especially when you with that goal against Manchester United where he assisted Ilicic. He just continues to shine and do what he does best. And so with that, he gets my player of the week.
I just realized I fucked up on my player ranking because Leipzig just beat Dortmund. I'm going to go, but just speaking of them, I'm going to go with Christoph Nkunku, who just put together another great performance. I think he had two or three goal contributions. I think he had two goal contributions in that game. He continues to be one of Germany's, technically French, but one of the Bundesliga's most underrated players this season. And just kind of building up with another performance. Big winning at Dortmund, Leipzig are kind of back in the Champions League picture a little bit, and it was an important victory, and so on and so forth. So I could have easily said Robert Lewandowski, but that's the answer every week. So this week I'm going with Christoph Nkunku.
So did you think of a debate topic? If we don't have a debate topic this week, that's fine.
Yeah, if you could sign, hold on a second. Just give me like 2 seconds. Yeah, this is probably not the. No, I'm gonna do this. That's a dumb question. This is not a debate topic. It's kind of like Would you rather?
Oh, we're bringing
Would
back.
you?
Hang on, guys. We're bringing back the Would You Rather segment just for this one time only. So
Yeah, because I thought
let's
that.
hear it.
All right. Would you rather see your rivals win a major trophy, whether it's the Premier League, sorry, Serie A or something, or go 5 years without winning anything? And in this, let's just for the sake of argument, let's just assume, and again, even if it's not totally accurate, let's just assume there's an opportunity for both our clubs to win trophies over the next 5 years. So would you rather sabotage 5 years worth of trophies? Again, an opportunity for trophies or to see your rivals win the thing. So 5 years, not a single trophy. And I know you have only won one trophy in the last 10 years, and I haven't won shit since 2008. But let's for the sake of argument, let's say that Inter and Roma both can win multiple trophies over the next 5 years. That's a realistic possibility. I think it is for you, not so for us. Would you rather have that being able to do that, or for you seeing whoever you want, Inter, I'm sorry, Milan or actually no, it's just Milan, please. Milan winning the league, or and for me it would be Napoli or Lazio winning.
I would rather see I would rather see AC Milan lift the trophy than not go another 5 years without winning something. I mean, if there's a possibility within those 5 years that Inter could come back and win this league or whatever trophies that they want, I'm definitely gonna take it because I would rather see lift the trophy, then go 5 years without nothing again. And just so you know, these past few years have been awful, but I'm at least happy I have something.
Wait, you said been? Did you say awful? Is that wait?
Maybe.
Is that what you said? Did you say awful?
Maybe.
Let me ask you a question. How many times have you lost 4-0 or worse in the last 5 years?
Hang on, let
Do you
me
want to know
check.
the answer? You want to know the answer?
Zero.
Zero. You know how many times Roma has lost by 4 goals or more in the last 5 years? More than
One.
three times. Off the top of my head, no, not that bad. Off the top of my head, Norwegian Hobbits, Fiorentina, Liverpool. That might be it. But still, you're in a situation where your club for the last 5 years was on either making the Champions League or on the doorstep of making the Champions League, and you didn't get truly embarrassed. You won't really feel the affection and the sort of agony for your club until you're absolutely shellacked. So Real Madrid score six, just so you can have that experience. No, but you're right. You're absolutely right. I think in a world where there's like a 99% possibility that Roma could win trophies in a 5 year span, I would take that over Lazio winning the league. And that's a scary thing to try to process. That's something I don't want to necessarily witness personally. But you have to remember something. Lazio still has less sort of significance in the city. So in like my own sort of little bubble here, Roma fans still are the majority of Roma or majority of Rome. So that would be painful to have to experience, but it wouldn't mean as much, and it wouldn't feel as horrible. It would feel horrible, but I just feel like under the jurisdiction of this, if trophies are possible in a 5 year span, I'm not really willing to sacrifice that for Lazio to win the league.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say it. The Norwegian Hobbit get old. I'm just gonna say it now because that's so funny.
Yeah, and we're linked to the Norwegian Hobbit. The guy who
Oh,
scored 4 goals or whatever it was against us.
by the way, like, is the Mickey Mouse Cup working? Is it like the Europa and the Champions League where you have different groups, or what's
No,
the situation?
it's the same thing. I just don't give a crap about it. We'll still finish. I think we'll finish second in the group. We'll still go into the knockout rounds. And again, I said this before. If we win it, I will not celebrate it because I don't count it. And again, and the only reason we're having this whole competition is because of money. Because UEFA wants to fill their pockets even more because they're a scandalous organization. But for Roma, I mean, some people are seeing it. I'm watching highlights. I watched the second game against the Hobbits, but that's literally the only game I watched live, or not live, but on throughout the whole game, because I just don't care about it. That's why when we lost 6-1, I was like, it's embarrassing, but I just don't give a crap. So, you know, it's just not a competition I'm taking very seriously. It's a competition Roma should, but I'm not invested in that because I think when we win a trophy again, I want it to be the Coppa Italia or the Europa League or the league. I mean, that's probably not going to happen. Or the Champions League, that's really not going to happen. But I would take it seriously if I was a player there. But Roma is a team with too much prestige to take that seriously. Now, for a team like Union Berlin, if they win the Conference League, which I hope they do, it will be the greatest thing that has ever happened to them. So there are teams in this competition that really want to win this because it would mean so much to the city and the club and all these things. So for Roma, as a Roma fan, I don't care for it, but I respect the competition because there are teams in it that it would be such an amazing thing if they were able to win.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense, but anyway, that pretty much covers this episode. As always, we'll see you.
Real quick. Hold on, real quick. I just want to say this. I don't want to go into detail. I just want to say that I don't know if you heard about the PSG thing that happened, that broke the news this week. But I'm going to say is I hope she recovers. I hope that she can play again. And I hope the people that did this will be put away and never allowed on in this sport again. I don't want to get into it because it's one of the most vile things I've ever heard of in my whole life as far as football stuff. So I just wanted to say I want to wish the person who was the victim of this well, and so on.
I'll ask you about it after we get out of here because I don't even know what the hell happened.
It's one of the most vile things I've ever read in my life, seriously. Anyway.
But yeah. Anyway, okay. This covers another episode of the Calcios Unplugged. As always, we will see you guys on the next.